Welcome to Jump in Tucson. I'm your host, Ed Ackerley. With me in the studio is my brother, William. Good morning, Bill. And today, helping me out today is my good friend, Lydia Aranda. Good morning, Lydia.
Good morning. Buenos dias.
Thanks. It seems like we were just here a couple days ago.
We sure were.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being here. She's going to help out today when we've got a busy morning. And, Jump in Tucson is a unique format of show with different hosts each day covering a wide range of topics. I host Mondays, Wonder at the University of Arizona, and a lot of interesting things going on at the U of A, but I like to highlight the good things that are happening at the U of A, so we call Monday Wonder. Tuesday, General Ted Maxwell hosts the Engagement Hour. On Wednesday, Grant Kruger hosts. And on Thursday, Tom Moulton talks about visitor attractions and fun things to do in Tucson. And then I come back on Fridays, and I talk about great success stories in Tucson and organizations that are doing wonderful good work in our community. A couple shows ago, we talked to Lydia and all the good things that the Minority and Small Business Alliance of Southern Arizona.
Yes, commonly known as MSBASA.
Yeah, so we had that conversation. Lydia's doing great work in the community, especially with, obviously, minority businesses. And some other good friends are here today with us. So a voice very familiar to most people who have lived in Tucson more than a year or two. Alan Michaels from his radio. Good morning, Alan Michaels.
Good morning, Dr. Ed. How you doing, my friend?
Good. As I was driving, I was thinking about Marie, but I was thinking about you. How long we've known each other? It's been going on probably 40 years, huh?
At least.
Yeah.
And we've done a lot of damage in the community over the 40 years.
Yeah. Some of it good, some of it questionable. Yeah.
Being very much involved in the AdFed and doing the very first tailgate parties at the U of A football games.
We did do those, yeah.
That's right.
It was us.
And when it was free.
When it was free, and we'd get there at 4 a.m. to mark our spot, and we had lots of fun there. And someone who's just near and dear to our heart, who is just a fantastic person doing fantastic things in the community, especially with the most vulnerable in our world, the young kids. It's Marie Fordney, and she is the Executive Director of the Children's Advocacy Center of Southern Arizona. Good morning, Marie.
Hi, good morning, Ed.
It is so great to see you again. You're doing fantastic work over at the Children's Advocacy Center.
Thank you.
So,
I love it.
Yeah. We were reminiscing before the show came on that a couple of my students from my class at the U of A came out and did some work with you several years ago, and you've come a long way since then.
The center
is amazing in what you guys do.
I'm not even sure we had a Facebook page
back then.
Yeah. And they helped us, kind of establish an online presence. So
right now
it's much, much better. I agree. Thank you.
So you're the executive director of the Children's Advocacy Center. Can you just tell us a little bit about what the center, why it was established, and what it does to help our help our young people who are in situations that they need some advocacy.
Yeah, we're essentially a safe place for children who've been abused, where they can tell their story and begin to heal. And the reason why we exist, we were established in 1996, so almost in May, it'll be 28 years ago, to address what many communities experience, which is a systemic issue with addressing crimes against children.
Mm-hmm.
Before we had a children's advocacy center in Pima County, a child might have been interviewed up to 7 times in the course of telling for the first time, talking to someone in education, talking to child welfare and law enforcement and a medical professional. And they might have had their medical services provided in an emergency room by someone who doesn't specialize in child abuse. So our center, we are able to collect that evidence. We provide one forensic interview that's recorded, that's observed by law enforcement, so the child isn't re-traumatized by their experience, because that intervention experience is traumatizing in and of itself.
And that reduces the stress on the child and reduces the whole situation, tamps down the whole situation to be a little bit more bearable for all those that are involved, including, parents who have to, subject their children to, previously to 7, 8, 9, 10 interviews. That's pretty tough to do.
Right.
Why are we reliving this? Let's get this out and be done with it.
Yeah, you want to address what's happened for sure, but you need to be following a model that allows the child to heal. And really, our model is built around building up the family as well, because the child is going to go home. And whatever that environment is needs to be supportive for them. Right.
So Alan Michaels, you're obviously your first career was radio, and you did that for 2 or 3 years. And then you went on to banking, and you went on to internet, then you did some other things. But and you went on to, healthcare for a little while. But I think you found a home at the Children's Advocacy Center.
You know, I was very fortunate to be interviewed 25, 26 times.
Three times.
At the Children's Advocacy Center. And when I met Marie and her team, what they did, I've said this before, I hated they had to do it.
Right.
But thank God there's somebody there to do it.
Right.
And if I could help any way, shape, or form, I'm all in.
That's great.
And I'm in.
And Marie's the executive director, and you're the director of development. Your job specifically is to find community support for this organization.
Very much so.
And basically, you're helping kids, which is really cool. So.
Exactly. Getting the awareness factor. That's important, because people aren't going to help you unless they know who and what you are. And we're helping kids day in and day out, and if I can do my piece, I'm good with this.
How do you engage with, say, like groups like Lydia's, which is a small business group that has lots of members and lots of partners, not members. We had that discussion before.
Yes, no members, but so we are a resource group, but we clearly have a network of business owners, of business advocates. We give out scholarships as well, so we have 22 years of alumni. We'd love to know how we can help you more.
Well, this is what we're going to be all about. After we have an event coming up in 2 weeks from today, as a matter of fact, the Heroes Without Capes, Black and White Ball at the El Conquistador. Plug. We'd like you to attend. We'll have more information on that coming up in just a few moments. But first, we will be going out to organizations like yours and talking about the Children's Advocacy Center and getting the awareness factor out. Because once you know what the organization does, your pocketbooks and your hearts will be open.
Sure. I have no doubt. And it's such important work.
Yep.
That's usually quiet work, right?
Yeah.
It is. Well, and that's how we named our event Heroes Without Capes, is because what we're doing is honoring people that none of us really realize are doing these amazing things every day to protect children and really save the lives of children.
You know, and we started the Jump in Tucson after my two runs for mayor of the city of Tucson.
Only two,
yeah. Okay. And when they came to me and said, hey, would you give this a shot? Bill and I talked about, we want to talk about the good things that are going on in Tucson. I spent 5.5 years listening to people tell me all the terrible things that they think are going on that I should go in and try and fix. And, stepping back at the 10,000 foot level, there's a lot of wonderful things happening in Tucson. We need to highlight that as well as call people out on the things that need to be fixed. But, and so the Children's Advocacy Center is one of those things. So,
you know,
that needs to be fixed, or it's a good thing. What
no,
are
no,
you
no,
saying
no, the,
exactly?
The child,
I'm just kidding.
No. But you're one of the good things. Alan's the one that needs to be fixed. What were you going to say?
You know, I'm so broke, there's nobody that can fix me
after
all the years of radio.
Tell me about
you
it.
Know, I know.
I would give myself a nomenclature, but my wife told me never to say that again out loud in public, so I'm not going to do it ever again.
But in the few months we've been there, we've opened up a lot of doors that people did not know the organization, and the awareness factor is important.
Yeah.
So with CAC being out there more and more, like being on your show this morning,
right.
Marie
right.
and me, we will definitely help raise money and awareness for the organization, which we badly need.
Great. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back in just a minute. We'll hear from our sponsors. We're talking with Alan Michaels and Marie Fortney from the Children's Advocacy Center of Southern Arizona. I'm with Lydia Aranda. You're listening to Jump in Tucson on KVOI. Tune in mine. Alan and I are singing the opening song.
Somebody help me.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. I'm Ed Ackerley. We're here with Jim Bednarik. Looking through the window, an old radio mate of Alan's for years, and he's calling Jim inside the room. So,
ladies and gentlemen, from the Groove 106.3, it's Jim Bednarik.
I'm being waved in.
How you doing, Jim?
I'm good to see you, my friend. How are you?
I'm great. How you doing?
What brings you on to this fantastic show?
Well, we just wanted to stop in and talk about our event, Heroes Without Capes, but I know that Marie loves to listen to you on the
Thank
Groove.
You.
So Marie said, we're going to Bustos Media. media. You got to get Jim to come in and say hi.
Hang on. See, now they hear me on the air. They're calling. Hey, you're on the radio. Well, good. I'll let you continue.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your help.
Sorry to interrupt your show, Ed.
Well, thank you for your help. It's nice to know that there's some people listening to our show, that's a good thing. Yeah.
It's always a good thing.
So if they listen, they call you and say, hey, I hear you on the radio. That's great. Good to see you, Jim.
Jim, stick around.
Well,
all right.
That's why I'm here.
Okay.
Well, I'm talking with lots of people, I guess, in this Grand Central Station.
Don't you love live radio?
I do. Friday.
There's nothing like it.
Very nice Friday.
And we might as well include Matt Neely, who's over there working behind the glass. He's doing a great job for us on Jump In Tucson. And I saw him when you were describing what was happening with the Children's Advocacy Center of Southern Arizona. He was shaking his head up and down about the powerful work you do. So thank you for that. So we're talking with Marie Fordney, Executive Director of the Children's Advocacy Center, and Alan Michaels, Director of Development. So tell us about the event coming up on Friday, April 19th, the Heroes Without Capes Awards. What's going on there?
The whole idea is to honor those unsung heroes that are protecting and saving children's lives every day, that are helping us address child abuse. So we have a safety award, healing, accountability, compassion for the people that help the helpers. And then we have kind of a lifetime achievement award. It's called the Dan Gregory Memorial Award, named after Dan Gregory, who worked for over 3 decades in victim services.
Yes, great. That's fantastic. And this is at Hilton Milk and Quesador.
Yep, on Oracle Road.
Starts at 5:30. Yep. And can people still buy tickets, Al?
Oh, of course. They can either call us here at the CAC, or they can go online at cacsoaz.org.
Okay.
And it'll be a pop-up. You just hit donate, or join us, buy a table, buy a seat. We're still selling tickets for another week or so. So please, it's going to be an informative and an entertaining evening. It really is.
And when you go to an event like this, you're getting your value out of it. Obviously, you get a delicious meal from the Hilton folks, and you get a chance to bid on some awesome items. Our friend Grant Kruger just gave you some gift cards from Union and Reforma and
Proof.
Yep. So there's tons of things that you've got. You've told me all the great things you have out there. So for the person that's looking for something fun to do, benefit helping children and helping these young kids that need our support.
Yeah, this all benefits our programs, not just the interview program I mentioned, but we have a medical program. We have a long-term family support program that's kind of like support groups for families. And then advocacy in our name is not the traditional definition of advocacy. It's much more like case management and resource support and crisis intervention for those family members that are a little bit freaking out about what's happened to their child.
Lydia, when we talk about business in Tucson and supporting small business and so forth, especially when we talk about economic development and getting new companies to come here and start businesses,
yes,
one of the first questions they ask is, what is it like for families here in Tucson? What support systems do we have? And that's an important thing for small businesses, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. You know, small businesses are such a key, I think everybody would agree, to not only the economy, but really the culture of a community. And knowing that the Advocacy Center is really paying attention, hubbed out of Tucson, but to the county and to the whole region, and same with the Small Business Alliance. We are about Southern Arizona, so we mean the surrounding counties, the rural areas, and those communities that may be underserved, that may just not have as much connectivity, may not have as much access. So I think building these bridges, creating the alliances are important, and it sounds like you agree. You're trying to do that outreach to those things that people may not know. You don't know what you don't know, kind of a thing.
For exactly. Sure. And one of our values is collaboration, because we work so closely with our partners to prevent and address child abuse, and that translates across, you know, to the public and private sector as well. We can all be working together, because it's everyone's responsibility to protect children.
That's
and
right.
And so a young person that's obviously involved in some kind of terrible trauma in their life, is this mostly related to law enforcement activity? Is it basically 100% of it is law enforcement driven?
Family can't really self-refer to the Children's Advocacy Center, although you can call and we can give you some advice and support. But in order to come in and get all of the services, the child and their family really have to be involved in some kind of an investigation, whether that's child welfare or law enforcement.
So like in some other charities, you know, it's a drop-off situation or we need help, we can't do this, we can't take this anymore, whatever the situation would be. But yours is really a referral system where you're advocating and becoming that voice And also synthesizing that information so that interview is only a one-time interview, right. and not continuing.
Yeah. Right. And it's really important then what we try to tell people is if you are in a situation that's bad and you've had enough and you want to get help, when you call us, what we're going to tell you is to call 911 and to call DCS. Child abuse is against the law, so you right. do need to get them involved. And we will definitely make the process as easy as possible.
You know, one of the other hats that I wear, obviously I've been at the U of A for 33 years. I've been at NAU, Northern Arizona University. I teach teachers, specifically, mostly during the summertime, I teach teachers who are wanting to become administrators and move up the ladder, become assistant principals and principals and those kinds of things. We have a session that we talk about. As a matter of fact, General Maxwell comes and teaches one of my sessions for me, and we have a judge that comes in and talks. But one of the things that is important for educators is that if they hear or they suspect anything that has to do with child abuse, they have to immediately, they have to stop what they're doing. They have to immediately take the child and immediately go down and report it. And, you know, it's a mandate. And if you don't, then you are held right. liable for that, especially if something is happening and something happens to the child. So we do have laws in place, and mm-hmm. So educators know this very well, that if a child is, if there's any suspicion of some kind of child abuse, it's immediate. You don't wait 1 second. You stop what you're doing, you get somebody else to take your class, and you take that child down and begin the process.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Perfectly stated. A lot of people do have all those misconceptions that you've touched on, that you have to have some kind of proof that the child is being harmed. You can just go on your reasonable belief that child is being harmed. And that word immediate, what is the definition of immediate? It does mean get somebody to cover your class. And in Arizona, our laws are so nice and strong that anyone who has care of a child, so volunteers are also mandated reporters, parents are mandated reporters because you have care of a child. Mm-hmm. So we all should just be watching. You know, like I said, it's all of our responsibility to take care of kids. It's not fair to ask them to take care of themselves. They're kids.
Right. And in your name, it's advocacy, but we're all advocates for children. We all have to make sure that we're protecting the most vulnerable in our population, and that's really a powerful thing. So who are some of your partners in the law enforcement side? Obviously, it would be Tucson Police Department, the Sheriff's Department. Mm-hmm. How does this all, what is the system that is in place that gets the referral to you?
Yeah, well, anyone. Actually, we, this past year, we helped some San Diego Police Department with an investigation because the family's living here now. Mm-hmm. So really, any investigation can come to us, any kind of official investigation. The way it works, if you were to make a call, let's say, first, there has to be some kind of patrol level or deputy level response. And that's so they can just ensure that there really is something that requires an investigation. It wasn't just a misunderstanding. And then the investigation begins in earnest and detectives get involved. And the detectives we work with are smart and they're dedicated and really care about children. One of our awardees this year is a detective. And that just shows you that's that they're wonderful. Doing amazing things. And you would think they'd be very focused on, let's get this bad guy. And the people we work with really are focused on what's best for the child. And we will have conversations together, all of us, and the counselor is involved, and a medical team is involved, and our advocate is involved, to talk about how are we going to step through this process in a way that's supportive of the child and the family.
As it should be.
Yeah,
as it should be. So, Ellen, how can a person who's listening to us, you're the director of development, how can they reach out to you? And, you know, obviously we want them to come to Heroes Without Capes a week from Friday. We want them to support that event, but this goes on year-round, so how do we...
I would love to get phone calls from people who are listening to us right now and let me know how I can reach out to them, meet with the organizations they may represent, and talk to some of the business people in the greater Tucson community and explain what our organization is, what we do, and how they can help. They can help by not only volunteering, because you got to go through a long process to volunteer. Even I had to go through a long process to get in. And we could use
three interviews, Alan. Only three.
Yeah. And Alan, if someone's in it, like say a breakfast club or a business networking club or a Lions club or a fraternal order or something,
Rotary
Club, you could come and do a presentation.
We would love to appear.
Yeah.
Either I could be there solo, or Marie could be there, or both of us could be there.
Yeah, great, great.
Because we need the awareness factor, and we need money to keep the services going for the kids.
So, Marie, final thought: what do you want people to take away from this discussion about the Children's Advocacy Center of Southern Arizona?
We've already said a lot that it's our responsibility to take care of kids, but I also would try to deliver the message to any young people who might be listening or that you are in touch with that there is safety and it is okay to talk about what's happening to you so that you can get the help that you need. That's the most important to me.
Right. Thank you, Marie Fortney, Executive Director of the Southern Arizona Children's Advocacy Center of Southern Arizona, and Alan Michaels, Director of Development. Thank you guys so much. We'll continue to talk about this next week so we can get some people to buy some tickets to your event.
Thank you very much, Ed.
All right, thanks. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. This is Ed Ackerley. On Monday, we have the U of A Wonder Show, and then Tuesday, Ted Maxwell, Wednesday, Grant Kruger, Thursday, Tom Moulton, and I'll be back next Friday with Business Success Stories. So with us now, I have Lydia Ronda, who's co-hosting with me today. Bill Ackerley's here. And with us is Deborah Plum. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. Most of the people that are listening know that you and I know each other through Base Camp for Veterans and the great nonprofit that you have. But you have a day job, and you have a job where you help people all throughout their navigation of wealth management and building trusts and so forth. And you've got a great event coming up at the Arizona Sands Club this coming Thursday, April 11th, from 11 to 2. Tell us a little bit about, as I titled, Leave Your Family Secure and Trust Your Net Worth. So tell us about this little event you have coming up.
Well, it's a great description of it because one of our goals is to really break down and explain the significance of proactively planning, thinking ahead a bit about what is going to happen after you pass and how your family is going to be protected from some of the struggles that come with decision making or probate and sort of the process of administering your estate. And we think that a lot of times people think this is only for the super wealthy, but it's really for everyone. And there's really not a person on the planet that I think can't benefit from just learning a little bit about ways that you can protect your family and your assets. And certainly there are creative ways that we hope to provide some insight on to think about your assets, especially when it comes to real estate or operating businesses, and how we can help you make sure that they're protected while you're alive and also for your family's sake.
So if anybody owns a home, if they have a second home, a vacation home, if they have a real property, if they have even life insurance and some investments and things that are maybe tied up and lots of things that they've been working hard on for a long time. If they don't have a trust, they need a trust. If they have a trust, they need to do some wealth management planning and say, is the trust that I got back in 1974 still valid in 2024? And do I need to do a tune-up on that and make sure that what we have is workable for the situation that we're currently in? Is that correct?
Exactly. You know, I hear a lot of people say, no, I'm all good. I've had a lawyer look at it, and then I find out it was 20 years ago, and since then they've had two more kids, grandkids, changed a business, bought another property, didn't realize that you could put life insurance in a trust to protect it from the tax man. So there's lots of ways that we can rethink about our assets as time goes on and life changes. And we're here to provide some of those insights and make it a little less daunting.
So I will be there. I will be your guest appearance I'll be the celebrity appearance.
Thank you.
I'm just teasing you, but you're my friend and I'm going because I want to hear about trust for myself and Ackerley Advertising and so forth. But you got a couple of other people on the panel that will be helping you share this information. Do you want to mention them?
Yes, of course. So I work for Withers Worldwide, and Namita Yadav is the partner that I work very closely with there, and she's going to be there. She's flying in from California. We do a lot of planning for people with assets in different states. And then Stephanie Kidder and Guy Welsh that are from Empower Financial Group, and they're wealth management advisors and also specialize in insurance planning. Funny you mentioned that, life insurance planning. So they're going to come in and give some of the insights about their roles and remind people that their lawyers and their wealth managers and their CPAs are not all the same. And we each have important roles, and it's very important to make sure that we all talk to each other and know what you're telling the other advisors that you work with.
Great. So this event is this Thursday, April 11th, from 11 to 2 at Arizona Sands Club, which is the beautiful restaurant on the fifth floor of Arizona Stadium, overlooking the campus on one side and overlooking the football field on the other side. a great setting to kind of relax and hear some important information about wealth management and trusts and how you might protect yourself and your future with your family and so forth. How would a person, if they wanted to get involved in this on and come to that lunch, which, by the way, is free. It's just it's a matter of them touching base with you. So how would they get a hold of you to say, hey, tell me how I can get involved in this?
Well, there's also apparently a way they can touch base with you. No, don't they just call you directly yet? No.
Yeah. call me. Yeah, call me. Yeah.
They can call me at 415-847-4116, and I'm happy to help them.
Okay. So, again, that number is 415-847-4116. This is Deborah Plum, good friend of ours, and also the founder and the CEO of Base Camp for Veterans. She does a fantastic job out at our partner, Fun Family Friend, Russell and Michael True, and their wives who own White Stallion Ranch. Deborah is the driving force behind Base Camp for Veterans that allows many, many veterans who have experienced some trauma in their life through PTSD or other reasons that they need some work, and they go out and work with the horses and have a great week. And you're coming up on another one in May, and so we'll probably have you on the show to talk about that. But today we're talking about you and your lawyerdom and you being a fantastic lawyer and helping people with wealth management. And so I'll see you on Thursday, and we'll try to encourage some other folks to join you and be part of your wealth management seminar.
Sounds great. Thank you so much, Ed.
Okay, thank you. Have a good day.
Talk soon. Bye.
Well, that's pretty interesting to have, Alan Michaels and Marie were here earlier, and of course we have personal connections with lots of the people that work and do wonderful things in our community. Mm-hmm. It's always interesting to know when someone's in a charity like that, what they do for their real job.
For their day job, yes, and it sounds like Deborah is touching so much with there's a lot of intersection with what she does.
Right.
Veterans certainly owning businesses or right. having needs or having gone through whatever kind of trauma, as you mentioned, so the Base Camp opportunity not only helps with addressing that, but then as the expert field that she's in with helping folks think about, as you said, any changes that have happened in their life and medical yeah. changes, physical changes, investment or not, tapping into savings or other finances right. that may have changed their financial landscape. You yeah. know, sounds like a lot of people can learn from the kind yeah. of education there.
And you don't have to buy anything or do anything. You just go and find out the information and yeah. educating yourself about what a trust is or what wealth management is. You know, even you personally, you know, Bill and I even donate a lot of time and effort for a lot of charities all throughout, mm-hmm. and many people. Matter of fact, Bill does a tremendous amount of work with Coaches for Charity and yes. the Rush Roots Cougar Classic and the Kickoff Classic and the MLK Tournament and high school and the Pima County Sports Hall of Fame and so forth. So we donate a ton of time as volunteers in the community, as do you. And you're the chairperson of the Minority and Small Business Alliance of Southern Arizona. But you have a real job too. And you're a consultant, and you help companies grow and prosper in this crazy economy that we have.
I've had a wonderful career that has allowed me to pull my trisector, you know, public service, private, and corporate America, as well as nonprofit leadership experience all together. And I like to say that I use all that to connect, but I connect not only with contacts, but really with the writing as a writer, whether that's mm-hmm. grants writing, whether it's helping folks put together their narratives about maybe a speech they're going to give, about the newsletter that their organization puts out, sometimes writing about their successes and putting that in their annual report. Telling the story
right.
is so important.
You know, and that's where, of course, Ackerley Advertising and Jump in Tucson comes in, is helping people tell their story. Matter of fact, yes. when people asked me about running for mayor, what was the greatest advantage or benefit that you got from running for mayor? You know, you get the intrinsic benefits of, you get a couple of chicken dinners, you get you get someone buying you a drink, you get to see old friends you haven't seen in a while, and you get all that stuff. But the real benefit of running for mayor is listening to the stories that so many people, the reason why they came to Tucson, why they love Tucson, why they help out in activities. And even though they complain from time to time about some of the stuff going on, people have their stories. And our job as Ackerley Advertising, and your job as well, is to help people tell that story and tell why they are engaged in the community and why it's so important to them.
Absolutely. Well, and you're talking about, I know, the great work that both you and Bill do, and Bill, you two have also, I'm going to say, as a bit of an unsung hero or a hero without a cape, using your videography and other kinds of audio and compiling, helping to compile PSAs for issues that are very important, bilingually, by the way. I know that you've invited me and my colleagues to participate in some of those, and it's so important to get those issues out.
Right. You know, and one of the things that the show does is to talk about the good things that are happening in our community, as we evidenced today with talking about the Children's Advocacy Center, and talking about, trusts and wealth management and so forth for personal. But this is all about our community, the fabric of our community, and how important it is. And we have coming up, on Monday's show, we're going to be talking to Val Romero, who is a governing board member for TUSD, and how schools are so important to the fabric of our community. And we have a great guest coming up also on Monday, Felicia Gaskin, who is the director of the Student Outreach Access and Resiliency Program for Native Americans at the University of Arizona. It's really a
very
cool,
important,
really cool program. So this reaching out and getting the fabric involved. When we come back after the break, we'll talk a little bit about Ackerley Advertising, about small business advocacy, and how we can help companies. You're listening to Jump in Tucson on KVOI. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. This is Dr. Ed Ackerley of Ackerley Advertising. You know, our company's been in business since 1968, when Gene and Gloria Ackerley started it. My dad was a general manager, an assistant general manager of three radio stations in Tucson. He started his career in 1942 in KHJ in Hollywood, California, and then went on to manage stations in Idaho and Utah and Nebraska before they moved to Tucson in 1957. Thank God they moved to Tucson, because I'm native born. I've lived here all of my life. My brother Bill is with me. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
So Bill is my partner in Ackerley Advertising. We both worked for Ackerley Advertising most of our careers. I've been there the entire time. I've been there 47 years. You've been there about the same amount of time.
Yeah, I took a little break to go work in the radio industry for about 6 years. But then when Dad became the executive director of the Elkhorn Merchants Association, he hired me back. And so I came back to the family business at that point.
It's kind of funny that Bill and I had the exact same degree at the University of Arizona. Back then it was called radio and television. And so, I know how to film a commercial. I know how to edit a commercial. I know how. I don't like it. I actually do not like it.
And so I get stuck with it, right?
Yeah, Bill does all the inside stuff and handles all of our production and creative and all of our artistic services, and I'm the guy that gets to go out and play golf and go to lunches and so forth. And if he's ever on a way on a trip or something and something needs to be done, I can oversee it, but I don't like doing what he does. I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I'm in bed by 9 p.m. and Bill wakes up at 9 a.m. and is up until 3 a.m. working on stuff in the, I call it the production cave, and it's amazing what you do for a living, and I know you like it. I hate it, so.
Yes, sometimes I like it.
Yeah. It depends on when they say make the logo bigger or you give them something, they want to change it around. Well, with us this morning as well as Lydia Aranda, and she's a business consultant and helps businesses and organizations grow and prosper, and that's kind of what we do as an agency. Over the last 56 years, it's about relationships and about growing people's businesses, and you've been a consultant, and you've done that most of your career, is basically consulting.
Yes, I've always had a consulting component to it, but I've been doing it full time since 2010. So can't believe all the years that have gone by, and it's taken me across the country serving organizations big and small. But my heart and my heart and my soul and my compassion is really for small business, and whether that's here in our great state of Arizona, where I've had the pleasure and privilege to work, on behalf of our governor's office in Arizona over a number of years, on behalf of large corporations in the finance world and others, or representing big and small nonprofits. There are relationships to be had, there are services to be thought of, and really, it's about the collaboration, about people coming together to help build solutions that's going to make communities sustainable, safe, prosperous, and small business sure takes a big part of that.
You know, Bill, you and I talk about how no business is too small. You know, it's most people think if you want to hire a consultant like Lydia or you want to hire an advertising agency like Ackerley Advertising, that you got to have 12 locations, that you got to have 400 employees, that you got to have lots of budget, you got to, you know, be focused on that. Our real expertise is smaller businesses that have one or two entrepreneurial owners that want to do something, but they're busy trying to run their business and they need help with their advertising.
Right. We have some examples of some businesses that have started out as a one-man band, and we put them on television with the commercial and maybe one a week, and the next thing you know, they're quitting their real job and starting this new business, this side hustle that's turned into a real business because they've grown from just getting their word out and getting their name out to the public.
So. And they concentrate on doing what they do best, and we help tell the story, and that's important. And then in the consulting side of things, I spent a lot of my time, especially in the last two decades, I've spent a lot of my time working with companies on leadership and management. And, of course, I teach leadership at the University of Arizona and at NAU, and so and it's my doctorate is in leadership. And so I spent a lot of time talking with companies about leadership. And, you know, again, people think that leadership is, you know, you got to have, you know, 200 followers and you got to be we help churches, small churches that have 50 congregants and, you know, the pastor just needs some help leading. We help small organizations and small nonprofits. We help small businesses who have maybe just one location. Some businesses that have no location, they're just working out of their computer in their dining room trying to make it better. And as Bill said, we help them grow their business. And that's what you do too.
Yes. And I think the piece that I bring together, and you've talked about it, Bill, I think you've hit it right on the head, that some small businesses or even larger small businesses, you know, entrepreneurs are good at what they do. They have their skill set, they have their expertise, and they're good at what they do. But sometimes running the actual business as an entity can be troublesome for even the most experienced. There are always regulations if you have staff, or maybe there are new tax implications. And I dare say that just, you know, the world is a different place now than it was just a handful of years ago.
Right.
And so keeping up with opportunity sometimes mean you need a little bit of help. And so we're here to help make that happen by listening and watching and trying to connect the right pieces and parts.
So this radio show is a good venue for small businesses to get the word out. And I just wanted to mention, we checked the numbers this past week because I had a potential client ask, well, what kind of listeners do you get? And over the last 3 months, we've doubled our audience every month. So this show started out as kind of an experiment for Ed and I, but we're really pleased with the results we're getting.
Yeah, we have a great lineup with General Maxwell on Tuesdays and Grant Kruger on Wednesdays and Tom Moulton and soon to be Felipe Garcia on Thursdays, and I come in on Fridays and Mondays. And this is a great showcase for businesses to come in and talk about what they're doing and to spread the word, tell that story that is so powerful.
Yes.
But this is just one of many elements. By the way, if you'd like to be interviewed on Jump in Tucson, you know, contact me or Bill. You can go to jumpintucson.com and let us know, or you can give me a call at 520-850-7058. Give me a call and let's have coffee and talk about how we can help you jumpstart your business. If it's something that you know, we need to pull Lydia in on and talk about the banking side of things and finance and grant writing and leadership and all those things that you do well, that would be great as well. So
wonderful.
Well, yeah. Go ahead.
And don't forget, the MSBA SA is out here all around Southern Arizona to help you out.
Right.
If you want to find us, we are at msbasa.org.
Fantastic. Thanks, Bill, for being here. Thanks, Lydia. This is Tucson's only live local news talk station, KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice. And thank you for listening to Jump in Tucson.
Jump in.
I'll be back on Monday with the Wonder Series with great things going on at the University of Arizona. Have a good weekend.